I've learned a lot. And then that led me into my next career, which is real estate. And mostly land and ranches is that's my passion. Here in the Brazos Valley and surrounding counties, I do residential. And what I've kind of gotten into that I didn't think that I would enjoy is actually college kids housing. Because when I go in and I'll go in and either show a buyer a home that's maybe having a future Aggie come to college here, or I'll have a seller, which right now I have a beautiful condo townhome listed right here in College Station, that a parent has invested in their child instead of renting, and then they're able to rent out the other three bedrooms, and it can become income producing. Well, what I have is fascinates me when I go into these places and the kids are still there and I'm able to talk to them. It just gives me hope for the future, the outstanding young individuals that are actually out there. You know, everyone talks about this generation being entitled and just being spoiled brats. There's a lot that are not. I mean, these kids are striving for education. They're outstanding young individuals. I went into showing a buyer a condo, and all four boys happened to be home that lived there. They were all from out of state. So, you know, if they were here, they were probably on full ride scholarships. They were here for a reason. And I always strike up a conversation. I learned this from my fiance, is where are you from? And what do you do? And it's just amazing what that the door that it opens up. And these young men just blew me away. Just, you know, what are your goals? What are you going to do after college is what I always ask them. And they have such aspirations. That's not something I did not think I was going to have a passion for, but I think it just gives me hope. And I see these young.
Gives me hope that you're going to like people before you leave this earth. Because for the first few
exactly.
years, you did not like people.
You're right. And you know what I have come to learn over my so many years, I'm not going to date myself, is I like people. I don't like bad people. I don't like the bad stuff that comes with people. I don't like bullies. I don't like the negativity. But I love being in a room with a person that is so intelligent and just so smart. I'm mesmerized.
Grateful and appreciative.
I love to just how their brain works and just their stories mesmerize me. So I've learned to appreciate that. So I think when I said that, I don't know that I realized that. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the negativity. And I think that's why I gravitated more towards animals, because animals are pure. Domestic animals, they're pure and they're, you know, they're there to please you. But what I've had to learn in real estate, and it's really a daily task for me, you have to learn to be unoffendable. And everyone thinks, oh, that's easy. It's not. Think about it. We get offended for anything. Someone bashes us on social media. Maybe someone doesn't use me that's a relative or a friend that's on for a listing, and you just get offended. Oh, how dare they? Well, you know what? If you become unoffendable, you don't have that problem, because you realize. And I think in real estate, that's helped me more than anything, because in real estate, it's like Chicken Little. The sky's falling every day.
Right.
One day you have multi-million dollar deals. And then all of a sudden, one day, things just come crashing out of you have no control over it. And so you have to just learn to be resilient. And I think, you know, that's been a big part of it. And it's helped me grow as a human. So I actually like people now, believe it or not, through real estate, where before I don't think I did. And I've learned to appreciate people and the greater minds and the great stories that I've learned.
So ranches are still your favorite thing.
Ranches are my favorite. You know, I love just helping people find their dream. And not only that, they may not know about the topography. They may not know about mineral rights. Right. There's so much more that goes into it than a residential, but you may work on a large transaction for over a year, where doing residential, you may close in 30 to 60 days. So you have to be willing to sacrifice that time. But it's a passion of mine.
And you're kind of playing mediator that between both sides.
Correct.
Even though you're representing one that, you know, that maybe there's a demand or a parameter that your client wants that the other side isn't taking seriously, and you have to smooth things over
right
before they get bad blood.
Exactly. And that's what you want to do. You know, there's so much controversy in real estate right now. My deal is buyers need sellers, sellers need buyers. There's no reason everyone shouldn't get along and try to make it work. Of course, you're always going to do the best interest for your client, but there's ways to go about it to make it amicable. And what I have found in the ranch and land, and now I do ranch and land all across the state of Texas. So I have listings in Fredericksburg, down to Bandera, College Station. It's a little more widespread than just the residential. The other agents that I deal or have dealt with have a different mindset, and they are the most polite. We go to lunch together. We always try, in my experience, has been work what's best for our clients and to get to the closing table. It's not about, you know, who's greater or
personal.
Exactly. Or personal. I've had a few experiences residential here, local in College Station, that probably weren't ideal, I will say. But I handled them. And you know what? That's when you learn to be unoffendable and you continue on. You do what's best for your client. The land and ranch, you would be surprised that people, I get phone calls and they're like, I'm saying land and ranch could be 10 acres, can be 20 acres, it can be 1,000 acres or more. I want 20 acres. I want to move my family from the city. They have no idea what they're getting into. They don't know the maintenance. They don't know, you know, weed control. They don't know the grasses. If they want livestock, they don't know the correct fencing. Well, through my experience, life experience, and then running the ranch for the last 15 years, I can guide them. You know, I have the resources if they want ranch horses or if they want goats.
You know what I'd liken it to?
A baby goat.
You know how Chrissy likes to say, oh, if you're going to Disney World, you need to have, you know, this relationship with my guy who will give you the first class experience. And I feel like if you wanted to conceptualize that and put into a Texas real estate agent, Shanna can give you that first class ranch experience.
When I was suggesting this past week to somebody that was going to Disney, I said, hey, you need to call my host. And they said, no, we kind of want the whole experience. I said, you want to stand in the sun for 4 hours to wait for one ride?
No. Right. Our goal is to make it seamless and as effortless.
Make it pleasurable.
Make it pleasurable. This is a life decision for
Major
people.
Chapter.
A major chapter.
Well, and I think too, with so many people relocating out of other places that are more expensive, and you know, you don't want to come to a state that feels unwelcoming. You don't want to come waste money trying to save money just to get an education on something that someone like you, Shanna, could say, hey, you know what, avoid these pitfalls and make sure you look out for this. And if you have all this, you're going to need X, Y, and Z to keep it up.
My daddy always said an education is what you get when you didn't get what you wanted.
Right.
Correct.
And I feel like, Christy, you've done a great job of cultivating relationships with a lot of people who have very strong educational backgrounds in very, you know, things just like this. And that's why you're the go-to girl when everybody needs a friend or a favor, because you know the best of the best in any industry. And with Shanna's knowledge about ranches, I hear you talk about it kind of like, you know, Nikki talked about her career with the kids. It's like you're really utilizing everything you probably loved about being a court reporter and, you know, being empowered and being a woman who's, you know, can have a very successful business and drive it and market it. And I mean, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you.
It has to be a passion. Number one, real estate has to be a passion. I mean, literally the sky is falling every day. And if it's not something you really enjoy, you're not going to be able to stay
now,
in it.
I know I'm always buying you books and things like that, but is there a book or any type of reference that's helped you since you started doing this, or that you just enjoyed reading, hearing somebody else's story?
Yeah, I can't name you've sent me several, but I'm always reading. I'm always educating. There are so many realtor online classes every week.
Continuing education.
It can be continuing education or just classes. I try to take one every week.
And you're having your daughter.
I have one. I'm doing another one on mineral rights. You have to keep continuing to educate yourself. And you got to have that drive to want to do that. I want to learn. You kind of know that if you really want to learn something about something, you'll invest that time. You're only going to get in it what you put in it, just like anything else. You build those relationships and your clients become your family. There's some occasions that I become their therapist and it just happens. But you know what? I'm there for them and I can share. I've had a lot of life experiences, ups and downs, and I can share that and bring that to the table and maybe help them through a certain, I had one client that we were on the way to look at a multi-million-dollar home. This is probably the sixth home we had looked at. And we're like, this is probably the one. Okay. My brokerage had sold their home like a month before. And we're like, this is it. And she gets a call on the way. And her husband says, don't bother. I'm divorcing you. Oh, yeah. It's real estate. Things happen. And she's just like, are you kidding me? And now there's more to the story as it goes. I mean, there always is more to the story. But literally, we were fixing a pool in the driveway. And, we had been on this mad search to turn around.
I just want to know how she reacted to
and
that.
And find this.
Was she hysterical?
She was not hysterical. And she was shocked. Shock fact, yes. Her and I have remained close since then. She went from my multi-million-dollar client to, she had a prenup, to pretty much not having anything. But you know what? I'm still there. She can still pick up the phone and she can call me anytime and I'm still there. It's not, you have to take the monetary part out of it. Because if that's what you're in it for,
right,
you're not going to be really there for your clients.
You're cultivating relationships.
Yes, yes. And I actually helped her relocate. I helped her find her a lease.
Did you deal with some swans?
Yes, I did. I helped her, and it's so funny, how I met her is she called one day and said, we had some of our ranch horses for sale. She called one day and said, I want to come see this colt that y'all have for sale. I said, sure. So I set her up an appointment and she came. And that's how I met her. So you just never know who that next person is going to be. And like I said, I may not talk to her every day, but she knows that I'm there. I posted an inspiration post on Facebook just because. And she actually texted me the other day. She goes, you don't know how much I needed that. I said, girl, you got this. Just be strong. Surround yourself with strong people.
Now, are you surprised? When did real estate really start just getting stupid?
Well, that would have been, I guess, after COVID in 22. And what's happened is the mindset now, people still are in that mindset and things are changing.
Of wanting to get that sell price for their property.
Exactly. And the interest rates aren't there right now. And so, you have to adjust. Life is about adjusting. We all adjust. I mean, in the 80s, the interest rates were skyrocket, and in the 13 to 14%, and people still survived. It's all about making adjustments. Maybe it's not a home, maybe you need to come down a little bit and get some equity in that home and then move up to the larger home. It's, it's just all about growth and staying in the market. So
what do you foresee it doing moving forward, the farther than now that we've gotten away from COVID? Yeah. But people are moving out of the big cities and we've had an influx from California.
We have. You'd be surprised of how many out-of-state phone calls that I get. So I really think that, I don't want to make a prediction because how the world is, especially with the election coming up. But I will say that there's buyers out there. There's not as much inventory. And the inventory that is there is not ideal because the people that have the really, really good inventory got that inventory at 2 and 3%.
Right.
How are they going to let that go?
Right.
There's nothing to replace it with. So you're getting not as much inventory to choose from, but they're still out there. The right. buyers are still out there. The sellers are still out there. It's our job as real estate agents to make them comfortable that it's going to be okay. You know, interest rates go back down, you can refinance it. You know, it, you can make this work.
So but I guess, what do you see? Like, I don't know if we can, I was already bought it now, but a neighbor ish of ours, you know, you can drive an hour in Texas and be neighbors.
The rapper neighbor?
Is he rapper? Drake. I'll go ahead and say Drake.
Yeah. I guess rapper.
Anyway, he bought a ranch close to ours. I mean, do you see that slowing down for Texas?
No,
because we have this great tax advantages.
No, I think we keep hearing all these people saying, I can't wait to go to Texas. Or you just talked to that friend of yours yesterday. He's like, I've got to get out of here. I've got to get to Texas.
I've got to get to Texas.
Yeah. The ranches are still out there if that's what you're in the market for. And I have a great friend that, you know, his ranch is on the market in Johnson City, you know, $35 million.
Well, and
there's one in Hempstead right down the road that is listed, you know, for $28 million. The ranches are out there. Those kind of buyers are still there. And then you have the buyers that just want a regular home.
Right.
You know, people are moving in. They, especially College Station area, you've got professors moving out. You've got coaches that are coming in and out.
God knows the coaches make a...
Yeah. So, you know, it kind of all folds together. No matter what bracket you're in, it's still all about finding the inventory, finding the right person, the right agent that fits you. And not every age. I'm not for everyone. I mean, you know, that you have to, and that's when become unoffendable, that you have to put that in play. You have to do what's best for your client. And if you feel like it's not happening, then, you know, you refer that client. I have one advice I would give to new realtors is find yourself a great brokerage. That's number one. You have to surround
yourself. That's like your foundation.
That's your foundation. You have to have supportive people. Not just in your brokers, your family and your friends. Like, thank God I have you guys. And then, you know, I have my personal, well, my fiance is probably one of my biggest cheerleaders. So you have to surround yourself. It took me a while to find the right brokerage, I'm going to say. The first brokerage I went to wasn't anything with them. It just wasn't what I was looking for in the farm and ranch community. And, you know, I happened into the brokerage I'm in now, Legacy Broker Group, and we have four major brokers that are partners. Everyone brings so much to the table.
Of knowledge.
I can pick up the phone at any moment. So a lot of my land deals will turn into commercial deals. And we have Charlie, who is our guru commercial guy, I can pick up the phone and say, will you partner with me on this? Teach me your ways. And I learn so much, but I know that I'm under his guidance in that commercial deal. Now that started off as a land and ranch, now it's moved into commercial.
So the producers of Selling Sunset need to move down to Texas and do Selling Saddles?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yes. So Tracy Tudor, that is part of Million Dollar Listing Beverly Hills, I guess has her license now in Texas. And I see she's had things listed in Dallas and Austin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, Elon's here. Jeff Bezos bought a ranch here. I mean, just the Joe Rogans, everybody that's relocating here.
Right, right. And a lot of times in your larger ranch and land, you're going to have NDAs. And, you know, it becomes just a whole different level of privacy. Now, I mean, we have privacy for all of our clients, but, you know, when it comes to a level like that, you can't be starstruck.
Right.
I don't care if you're looking for a property that's just a piece of land that's $98,000, or if you're looking for a $35 million, you're treated the exact same.
Well, I won't name any names because of the NDAs, but the guy they often refer to, there's some other name besides Two Quarters.
Yeah.
Now, you weren't a little starstruck when he wanted to talk to you about buying a ranch in Texas?
No, I don't. You know what? I learned that from you. I learned that from you. So let me go back. Little country girl here, newly divorced. This one here, she is sat on a lot of boards in Houston. And she knew that I was just this shy little country girl. I barely been out of my county, maybe over to Louisiana. And she says, "Get dressed, sister. You're coming to a luncheon." I said, "I'm coming to a what?" She said, "A luncheon. And there's going to be all these supermodels there." Remember?
Literally supermodels.
All the supermodels were there. And I was just like mesmerized. And Christy has always had just this gift. She can walk in a room. She remembers their name. She remembers their kids' names. And everyone from the moment you get out of the car, from the valet guy to the supermodel who we're going in there to see, they're all treated the same. And I'm one that I sit back and I watch. I watch and I observe. I may not talk a lot. And I would watch her in these settings. Sometimes I would literally go in the bathroom and have to decompress. She'd have to come in there and get me out. Because I would have anxiety because I just was not used to being around people like that, you know, famous people. I had not seen that. And she's like, "Shanna, they're just like you and I. We're all the same. We all have the same problems." And so I learned so much from her. And she would literally call me at the ranch and say, "Hey, can you break away? You know, is Zoe at school? I had this luncheon. Let's go." And I would drive to Houston, and she exposed me to a lot of that. So I think that kind of helped me. I don't get starstruck. I really can't see that anyone just mesmerized me that much. I'm more about the ordinary people that have the extraordinary stories.
Right.
I love that. And everyone has a story. We know that, Lissa, you and I have talked so much about your story and where you came from. And you know, I watched y'all's podcast the other day about you struggling with your weight.
We've had more feedback from that people are like, "We want to hear you."
I'm crying because I'm just so proud of you, Shannon. Just, where you guys are right now today is really something to be really proud of. And I think anybody that loves you both and is going to see this will feel the same. But the weight thing, I think, you know, with Oprah and she's talking about Ozempic and everybody's making a big deal about Ozempic and childhood obesity. And, you know, your friend that talked about it on her Facebook or Instagram the other day, it is such a big deal to people. I think with the body image and the Kardashians and everybody using, you know, weight loss procedures or surgeries to change their life and not really recognizing what a profound impact it has on women, but how it's trickling down to kids and it affects everybody and people aren't talking about it enough or saying, "Hey, I've been there. Like, if you want to see my stretch marks, I have them. They wrap around my entire midsection." It is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. You have to own it, but
you have to learn to love yourself. And on the flip side of that, I had the exact same problem as you, but the opposite. People don't realize everyone focuses on weight, on people being overweight.
Shannon was so skinny, she didn't have a shadow.
I was so skinny. And let me tell you, it was pretty traumatizing. My school age years were traumatizing. You know, I wasn't the popular kid. I literally wore two pair of shorts underneath my pants to make it look like I had a butt. You know, girls pad their bras. I padded my bra, I padded my butt, I padded anything I could. I was so skinny. Now, the school that I went to was a very small school. We didn't have bullying. We did not have bullying.
No.
My classmates were wonderful. The boys were not interested in me by any means. Okay. I was friends with all of them. Oh, look who we have here. But it's almost the same traumatizing effect because when in my rodeo life, Christy and I, you know, we grew up doing youth rodeo, it was a little bit different. And there were some mean things that happened to me with boys that, you know, that impacted me. And I would drink weight gain. I would go eat banana splits. It's almost the same.
Peanut butter shakes. I remember that.
Exact same scenario, but the opposite.
Right.
And so whether it's overweight, underweight, whatever it is, it's all the conceptualize of people's bodies.
And you're not good enough, or you should be this.
Exactly. So then I got into my 20s, mid-20s. I finally started developing in my mid-20s. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, where did y'all come from? Like, you would have been really helpful in high school. Like, are you kidding me? You're just now deciding to show, you know, rear your face. And then a little bit later in my 20s, yeah, I started getting curves. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And people would see me. They're like, oh, my God. Like,
where'd you come from?
Blah, blah, the loom, you know. So you got to learn to love yourself. I just wish we would learn sooner,
right,
and not later in life. It's taken me so long to figure this out. Like, why? Why does it take so long?
I feel like the only thing missing from this conversation is, you know, a great bottle of wine and Bunny.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're all obsessed with Bunny.
But love Bunny.
She has come out, Jelly Roll's wife, and has owned.
I feel like she's giving a bigger microphone to this exact kind of platform.
No, you're right.
Right.
You're right.
And, you know, there is another high profile podcaster that there was some media outlets that were going after his history, saying he didn't really do these things. He wasn't affiliated with this. And he bumped up his CV to look, you know, better. Mm-hmm. Bunny's like, there's nothing left to Google about me. I used to be a hooker. I gave up sex work a year ago. I've been married to my husband for 8+ years.
Transparent.
Very transparent. How much easier life would be.
Exactly.
Well, Christy, do you remember when you and I became friends post your strokes? I wrote you just kind of like an introductory letter of like, hey, I see you. I see your life, whatever that is. I don't recall Googling you, but you can tell by looking at you that you, and I was like, this is where I come from and this is my background. And if you don't want to be friends with somebody like that, I get it, but I'm not going to set myself up to be disappointed or have expectations and thinking that here it is. And I laid it out and you were like, oh, I love it even more. Like, thank you for getting to the get faster.
It comes with a guidebook on somebody. I mean, just how much easier life is that we don't have to tiptoe around the drama.
Right.
I was looking for a quote. So frustration cannot exist without expectation.
Exactly. That's my favorite.
You know,
no expectations.
Yeah.
One of my great, great mentors, who I just love dearly, that we lost not long ago, was Stan Sigman. And he told me, he said, you have to inspect what you expect.
That's right. But why does it take us so long?
Right.
Until your 20s, you don't want to hear it. I know. Right. My daughter is 22. They don't want to hear it. They've got it all figured out. I'm not sure that's my favorite age. You know, every age of your child you have in your, they think they have it all figured out. You know, you get in your later 20s, early 30s, you're starting a family. Your whole life is focused around your family and your child. And, you know, you don't have time for yourself, you know. And then I feel like we don't start discovering ourselves until we're like in our 40s. And then
personally for me is I feel like, until you're really hurt yourself by the real world over and over and over again, and you have those opportunities to gain your insight, learn your lesson, and put the hard work into either healing yourself or healing emotional family trauma or investigating why you are the way you are based on how you were raised in your environment, you're not ready to release yourself of any burden of expectation to be perfect. Because you realize once you get to this point, nobody else has a manual for how to get through this. And if I don't live by my own guidebook, I'm going to be unhappy every day anyways, because I'm living by somebody else's.
You're exactly right.
So let me take this back. Let me take me back. Let me do me the best I can be, show up for myself 100% every day, and know that my tribe of people, friends, women, whoever are going to find me. And that's who I'm supposed to be around.
Right.
Is a support.
You got to.
You are what you eat. You are who you surround yourself.
Yeah. You got to surround yourself with strong, supportive people. And, you know, that's who you become.
Because, you know, I feel like, yes, now, and what's crazy is, yes, by the time you figure this stuff out is also the time that you start losing things that you were just getting ready to get excited to experience. You were just getting ready to experience the joy of watching your child go off and be successful. You were just getting ready to experience being a grandmother or whatever. And then that's when tragedy strikes and you lose a loved one in an accident or to a disease or, you know, somebody moves away. Like, it never goes like you think it's going to go, ever. No. If we could have all written a script for what our life would, I was just thinking the other day, I don't know if you did it in school, but when I was in school, my girlfriends and I would all do this thing called MASH, and you'd do it on a piece of paper. And it was like this, basically fortune teller's map for how your life would turn out. And I think M stood for mansion, A stood for apartment, S stood for shack, and H stood for house. And then you'd have all these categories of like, you'd pick four boys and then you'd pick four numbers of possible kids you could have and four careers and four places you'd live. And then there was a nursery rhyme and you'd go through the thing and then you'd get to this number and it's like, oh, you're going to marry Robert. You're going to be an orthodontist and have three kids, but you're going to live in a shack. And it didn't matter how many times we played the nursery rhyme out or I changed the answers. I could never visualize my life looking like however that came out and being frustrated because I watched all the other girls kind of get excited about it or find that enthusiasm. And I was just always knew, like, why does it all have to look the same?
Correct.
And what are we making? What are we putting in that box? Like, I have so many ideas that don't fit into this, but it seems to be so much of a focus of how things are cultivated, right? And right. it's not until now that we figure out we don't have to.
Right.
Life is what happens when you're making plans.
That's right. If you follow your heart, you're a good person, follow your passion, you know, the rest is really not up to you. It just, life happens,
right,
you know, and you just have to sit back and do your best, be the best, be better than you were the day before. Be a better version of yourself and treat people right. I mean, I'm all about karma. You know, be nice to people.
Right.
Don't bully.
You never know.
You never know.
To what bridge you're going to burn, you may feel good in the moment.
Right. But, and you don't know what impact you're going to make on somebody's life that day, that maybe they needed that pick me up. Maybe they just needed that little bit of kindness, you know, and it's taken me a while to kind of realize and figure all of that out. And I think a lot of that is because maybe I wasn't exposed as much, you know, like in my 20s and 30s until I was probably in my 40s, because, you know, you are raising your family and you're kind of just in your little circle. You're in your little world and not expanding.
There's a whole world.
Well, and I have the hope, I think we all have the hope that doing this, and with the internet as it is now and social media as it is now, this message is reaching women and men, whoever needs to hear it now at a younger age, and is bleeding into that next generation of people who are young, going out and they're learning, like, hey, like, we need to have a greater appreciation and something wasn't done quite right in the generations before. This information wasn't being shared as pertinently as it really is of what kind of human being to show up as. And I think, like, my favorite quote from the last couple of years is Glennon Doyle's, life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you.
No, you're right.
And if you can sink into that evolution of whatever change is coming and know that you have to find the best benefit for it and live that out because it was meant to be, you'll become less jaded and, you know, it won't keep you down.
And I find that the more that you protect yourself, take care of yourself, elevate yourself, put yourself around the right people. People want to be around that because they don't know how to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And they're drawn then to, did you get some more quotes?
Yeah. I actually have my notes.
Leia, great. We need another quote. What's another one?
My cheat notes. Don't just live to be accepted. Be the exception. Hmm? And I think I learned that a lot from you because you've always been outside the box. You always step outside the box and be the exception.
I know.
You're not just there to be accepted.
We've had a few times that praying that something crazy that I've thought of that we hope it works out.
Right.
Or I always say that Shanna cleans up more messes of mine. And it is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. So we just look at each other and tell each other, it is what it is. You can't change it. you can only do so much to a certain point. And then, you know, if somebody's not good for you, cut them off like a bad melanoma.
I agree. But there's got to be room for some forgiveness also, absolutely, though, because you're going to carry that burden.
Right.
So can I just tell the story of how I met Alyssa?
Yeah.
The first encounter.
Yeah.
So
do I remember?
So
yeah, I think so.
So Christy, sends me a text or calls me and says, my friend is moving to coming to the ranch. She's going to help organize and kind of get our lives together. Right. 'Cause we do have a lot of stuff and we do need a lot of organization. And it's kind of nice to have somebody else there to
a fresh set of eyes.
And I'm like, okay. She goes, okay, well, she's going to be arriving on such and such day. Can you please meet her and get her settled in at the cabin? And I said, sure. Not knowing anything. So here's Alyssa pulls up. You got to realize we're in Texas, right? She pulls up in her little red Prius and this cute little blonde gets out. The first time I've ever seen her, and she's holding this little chihuahua. I'm like, okay. And then she opens the door and she gets another one out. And then she gets another one out. I'm like,
poor chihuahuas.
So I'm peering in the car. I'm like, how many more of those are back there? She goes, oh, just like four or five cats. And my eyes get real big. I'm like, they all fit in that Prius? Like, you've been driving. Where did you drive from?
Iowa. It was about Iowa. 18 hours.
Yeah. 18 hours. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Here this child, you know, she's so much younger than us, is moving to Texas and she doesn't know what she's getting herself into with Shula Ranch. But she's an animal lover. So we know we got to love her. And yeah, so that was my first encounter with you. And I just remember you kept bringing those chihuahuas out and then those cats out. I was like, it's never ending.
Yep. And then we had, I think you and I had gone to George Strait at the rodeo.
Yeah.
And I said,
oh, no. Uh-oh. I have to tell this story. Okay. So I haven't been on a horse.
Winslow said, I'm here for it.
Since
I
was about 6 years old, maybe even younger, because the last time I was on a pony, even, I ended up in the hospital for 2 weeks with a collapsed lung. So, you know, it was always like the no fly zone. I couldn't even play in the corn at the little jungle gym farmhouse place because I'd, you know, it was a hay or I don't know what it was, some barn stuff.
But let's move to Texas.
Get me out of manual labor, anyways. But they go to Georgia Strait and I go off to sit with a friend who had come in to kind of help with canines and social media. And I thought she was going to give me kind of the head start, kickstart to social media, which I needed. I, you know, had not done anything in this realm. So I get on the car. I think I drive your sedan because, you know, now I've got this tiny, what feels like a golf cart in Texas compared to all these big SUVs. Right. So I'm driving your big SUV through the, here comes all these pack of dogs. I'm being chased out in the wild. And I get finally to this ranch of this girl's father and I pull in and text her and she said, oh, I'm out at the barn. And I said, okay. So I go out to the barn and I've got my, I think I had jeans on and a t-shirt and my flip-flops. It was summer. And I walk out and she's next to this white horse and he's got some dander. Well, he's also had diarrhea that day. And she's patting him down and the dust is flying everywhere and she's putting a saddle on him. And she goes, oh, I thought we'd ride. And I said, she goes, you didn't bring the right shoes. And I was like, oh. She goes, I think I've got some extra boots. And I remember getting him out, I guess, of whatever his attack room. And she's like, let me make sure there's no snakes or anything. Okay. Spiders in the boots. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not from around here. So I don't know if this is like the initiation before you get an education or what I have to do in order to, you know, get some schooling. But I'll give this a shot. Well, lo and behold, like 3.5 hours later, I look like an ogre. Peach. I've got one eye closed. I've got a sunburn of like third degree all over. I can't even walk upright because my back's so out of shape. And I think something happened and she had to go. And so I never actually did sit down and do what I intended to do that day.
With the social media.
But I thought, okay, if this is the kickstart to how life in Texas is going to be, I better learn fast.
Allergy shots.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things I think that's kind of a topic of authenticity is I feel like we get a lot of comments, people either commenting saying, hey, obviously you have work done. Where do you get it done? Or God, don't do that. Could you believe how terrible you look? Don't, you know, don't get your lips. We were just talking about your lips today because we went with Shanna to go through the storage unit. We found all these pictures of your Lucy lip days. Your lips have been your lips since you were born.
They have been. But the other day, I do have to say, I did a little, I guess, a short or a reel.
Robert, on the cold medicine?
Well, and I had taken some cold medicine and we were watching the Oscars and Robert Downey Jr. won. And Jimmy Kimmel took a shot at him about being a drug addict. And I said, you know, the guy just had one of the top five moments of his life. And he's been sober now almost 20 years. Why are we still talking about that?
Right.
You know, that's going to go on the permanent record that, you know, Google it if anybody wants to know. But he's not anymore. He's clean. He's sober. I mean, half of Hollywood is or more is clean and sober, but it's, I was disappointed that they took that moment to try to make a joke. And so I went on a live and said, you know, it's time to let other people's choices when they've made themselves better to pass. Well, I had codeine or something that I'm allergic to in this. My lips, as I'm trying to talk, they're big anyway. It's a lot of real estate, but they were just, and even my doctor saw it and my OBGYN is just like, are you okay? Your face is very swollen. And so we took some cold medicine with Cody.
Bette Midler says to Goldie Hawn in the First Wives Club, what happened to you? The lips look like they got swallowed by a pool drain.
That's funny.
But no, I think we put ourselves in cages and compare ourselves to others. And so we box ourselves in a little bit.
You think it's fear that we don't know?
I think it's fear from others. I think, you know, who are
being judged, or
it's being judged, and who are the other people to write the script? Right. Why are they writing our script?
Right.
Let everyone be who they want to be, as long as they're a good person within boundaries.
What do I say? I tried to pay my bills once with somebody else's opinion, and they didn't take it.
Check bounced. But I was thinking they said.
Who is they?
The proverbial they can go themselves, because unless it's something of value or a good moral substance, I don't want to hear it. You know, we were talking about religion and politics, and religion to me now is politics. Religion as itself is politics. I'm talking about faith, and I think faith lends more into what you're talking about is who are you as a human?
Spirituality.
Like, do you have spirituality? Do you have goodness? Do you have a pure heart? Do you have intention in your actions and knowing what the after effects of those actions will be? Is it going to produce good, bad? Am I going to hurt somebody when I make this decision? And if you can do all those things and lead your life that is in a spiritual, good human way, then we wouldn't have all this disagreement and fighting and name blaming and pointing. And,
you know, a friend of mine always said it's the rule of threes. How is this going to affect you 3 hours from now, 3 months from now, or 3 years from now? Do you really want to call somebody something or start something that it really isn't going to have an effect 3 hours from now? It's not going to change the outcome.
I think a lot of times, though, the they is created by us.
Right.
Who are they? Think about it. You're driving in traffic and a person cuts you off and you get upset. He cut me off. Who is that he? You don't know that he. Then one day you're driving in traffic and you accidentally swerve and cut someone off. All of a sudden you become that he, the person.
Right.
So who is they? We make this stuff. Yes, there are bullies and there are people that come at you on social media that opens up a whole other platform. But I think our minds are our worst enemies. We create a they that's not even there. And it's up to us, again, be unoffendable and don't worry about it. As long as you're doing you and doing
really
the best
sat
you.
Down with these people and spent some time, they were either, they'll tell you, I was intimidated by you, or I would look up to you. I don't know what you're talking about. And you just, it's really hard to absorb feeling judged.
Correct. How many times have we been told when we walk in together later that they were intimidated by us? And we were like, us? Are you kidding?
The girl that fell over three things getting in there.
Yeah, and it just blew our mind. So they already conceptualized
right, who you were going to be,
who we were going to be. And then when they got to know us, they're like, oh, wow.
Right. Like, I'm wearing slippers right now. We're sitting here, but like, nothing's perfect. It's not like there's this image of perfection, but we've all cried the same. You know, Nikki was talking about acting. You can't tell me no one in this room has felt this way or felt this sadness or had this heartbreak or be more real about it.
We all have our battles. I can remember we had, this is, oh gosh, over a decade ago, we had a horseshoer in the barn and I was sweeping out some things and he goes, so what's it like? And I said, what? And he goes, working for her. And I said, who? And he said, Christy Schiller. And I go, I realized I got no makeup on and I had, remember that day? And
the one day.
The one day. And I said, man, she's a lot. She's extra. And he goes, I thought so. And a few minutes later, Shannon came in and said, oh, I see you met Christy. And he was like,
whoops.
Just can't have fun with it. I mean, but I am extra. I guess it doesn't.
Yeah. Wait, but you're unoffendable. Like, you own it. It is what it is, right? All the things. Like, I'm extra. I acknowledge it and get on board or get off, but I'm not going to be offended by you not being like me as long as you don't judge me for it.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah. But you do. You want to believe the good in people.
Yeah.
You want to believe that people are transparent. What they're telling you is the truth. And, you know, if I just don't understand why if somebody has something done or they color their hair a certain way or they do that, just say, I think you should wear it like a badge. This is what I have done. And you know what? I feel better about myself. And today's a good day and I'm coming for you.
Yeah. But I think some people will use people to get to you. Like right. I have literally had, what did I say? Tire marks as they get to me. And then all of a sudden it's just shoot straight to you. I'm the outlet. Yeah.
Oh, and even just
or the inlet.
Being around, like helping and having, listening to how people ask questions to me regarding you is the most bizarre thing. Just, it's like this dance around, but yeah, it becomes, you feel like a gateway to somebody, which, but with all that being said,
I do have to say that we got, I got a note this week from the doctor's office and I am a huge skin SPF snob. If there's a cream out there, I want to try it. If there's something, and I'm really excited.
Oh yeah.
About this. So I don't know if anybody watches YouTube, but Dr. Karam, who I do not know, I've never met, is a doctor in, I think like Beverly Hills or La Jolla, Laguna, somewhere like that. And his office reached out to me and said, we have a new product that we want to send you. And I was like, okay, well, that's with the expectation that you'll talk about it. And I'm like, I'm pretty regimented. I've used Obagi products since I was 20 years old. And, you know, I've pretty much set my ways.
Well, and diligent about researching new stuff or, you know, what's new on the market or people really have good things to say about.
Well, Karam MD. And last night I opened this up out of the box and I put it on before I went to bed and holy wow, this stuff, did I put it on?
Yes, you did. And it's give like me silk.
I'm Reagan, this wonder producer. I'm just telling you.
It's almost like whipped egg whites mixed with Manuka honey.
With but honey.
It soaks right into
like
your skin.
But like an avocado oil. Yeah, you can feel the oils, but yet when it dries, it's not, it's a skin barrier. It almost reminds me of a lighter version if somebody had to have to repair like burned skin or something that you need that barrier for protection. And I just want to bathe in this.
Can we get a back bar deluxe size bottle,
yes,
please?
Yes. I'm going to do a whole
on subscription order.
I'm going to do a whole thing on it, but I just want to thank Dr. Karam and his office because this, it's going to have to hurt his, plastic surgery side because what it does to your skin, you go, well, maybe I don't need that lift or tuck.
Yeah, we looked it up and it's really quite affordable for what
very
it is.
Affordable.
It
was less than $100. And I saw somebody had it for 90 or mentioned 90 with tax. But you know, you get a pretty good size.
And it's the airless pump, I think, so you don't waste any. And
yeah, but he knocked it out of the park. And I just put it on last night and I was like, oh, do I really want to get this all over the sheets? By the time I put it on, it still felt moist. And but it wasn't like a heavy greasy, but you still felt like there was a barrier there. And this morning, the first thing I noticed on my sheets, there was nothing there. And this is going to be my new best friend.
So we, again, can't thank you all enough for being here with us on this episode of Listen Christy with Shanna, the ranch manager and best friend forever.
And welcome, Winslow.
And welcome, Winslow, for those of you who are watching on YouTube. But Shanna, how can someone get in touch with you if they are looking to relocate to Texas and want a piece of land of their own?
So you can go to our website, legacybrokergroup.com. I have my personal website on there, shannabrown.legacybrokergroup.com, and just reach out to me. I'll be more than glad to help you. I have a beautiful 349-acre ranch right here in College Station that has had commercials filmed on it. We consider it a ranch retreat. It's got numerous houses and barns and just gorgeous.
Music videos filmed there.
Music videos have been filmed there. So it's got stocked lakes. You can miles of riding trails. So if anyone's out there wanting to move to Texas and
you've got a beautiful first class touring vehicle named Tawanda.
Yes, Tawanda. I do. And I have Stallone the drone.
Yeah. And so if you're also looking to list a piece of property, you have every tool in your toolbox to make that the first class experience that someone would want.
That's right.
And need.
That's right. Give me a shout. I'd
love
to help you.
And they can find you on Instagram.
Yes, on Instagram and Facebook and Texas Ranch and Realtor is my handle on Instagram. So just give us a like and follow, or follow us on Legacy Broker Group. You can find us on there.
All righty. So, and if you're still with us, thank you for listening. And we'll see you next time. Say goodnight, Lucy.
Goodnight, Lucy. Say goodnight, Winslow.